Going to be talking about today is this: faith for everyday living, doing faith exercises. How many know that every day we need to be doing faith exercises in the things that God allows to come our way? I believe those things happen for a purpose, so that we can grow and develop in faith as He has called us to. And so today I want to talk about the importance of applying faith. The faith that God has given to each and every one of us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that each and every one of us received a measure of faith when we were born again. Faith came into our hearts. And God wants that faith to grow. He wants it to develop. And so I believe that God wants us to use the circumstances that we are involved in each and every day to develop our faith. Because I believe that faith is the essence of the Christian walk, and unless we learn how to apply it in our everyday lives, we will not have the faith to meet the major challenges that come our way. Faith is a discipline. It's an exercise. We need to learn how to exercise our faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." It's impossible to please God without faith. Faith is the one ingredient that each and every one of us must have if we are to please God, because the only way we can even come to God is through faith. And so he says, "For he who comes to God must believe that He is." In other words, you must believe in God that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so God wants us to grow in faith. He wants us to feed on faith. He who feeds his faith will starve his doubts to death. How many want to starve their doubts? Starve the unbelief in our lives. Well, in order to do that, we have to feed our faith. We have to do exercises in which will allow us to feed our faith. The scripture at the bottom isn't what's really important. What I want you to see is this up here. I guess I made those transparencies a little bit too large. But again, we find in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, where it says, "For the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." How many want to walk in God's righteousness? We all desire God's righteousness, amen? To be in right standing with God. But in order to do that, we must go from faith to faith. We take that initial deposit of faith that God has poured into our lives, and we allow it to grow and mature and develop. Because at each stage of our life, in order to measure up, in order to meet the challenges and the things that God has for us, it takes faith in order to do that. And so it says here in Romans 1 and verse 17, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." You see, our daily walk with the Lord should consist of a walk in faith. We should be exercising faith each and every day for the things that we do. Well, you say it doesn't take a lot of faith to do the things that I do. It doesn't. It doesn't take a lot of faith to get up in the morning, does it? You just get up. It doesn't take a lot of faith to cook your breakfast. Well, for some of you, maybe it does. It doesn't take a lot of faith to get in the car, to turn the ignition on, and drive down the freeway. Well, anymore, it is beginning to be a little bit more of a matter of faith, isn't it? You got to watch out. Crazy things going on all around us. But nevertheless, see, we do live in a country, we live in a society in which we can get along to a certain extent without exercising too much faith. And so I believe even in the midst of that, God wants us to learn how to exercise faith in the things that we are involved in. Otherwise, we will not grow to the degree that God desires. And so our faith needs to be exercised on a daily basis. We need to look at the many things that we're involved in. How can I apply faith in this area? How can I apply faith in my marriage? How can I apply faith in raising my children and overcoming the situations that come up as a result of undisciplined children sometimes? How can I apply faith out on the job each and every day? How can I apply faith when I'm involved in all of the tasks in the home? What are some things that I can do to really exercise my faith? See, the reason this is so important, let me turn real quickly to 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. I didn't have this one in my notes, but in verse 9 and verse 24 it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." Run in such a way, he's talking about training. See, this is what we need to look at our lives like, that we are in training. See, every day my life is in training. I am in training for something. I'm exercising my faith. How many know that athletes spend every day of their lives building their muscles up and exercising and training so that when the big game comes, they're ready to produce? Or when the big fight comes. You know, they train and they train and they train and they train. And that big moment comes and they become the champion because of all the training that they put into that. Sometimes fighters get overconfident and they don't train as well as they should. And when the big moment comes, they find out that, woe is me. You see, what happens in our lives as Christians is that we encounter trials. Anybody know what a trial is? It's something that's not very pleasant. It's an unpleasant experience. And some of our trials are small, minute. Some of them are on a larger scale. But see, the thing that will happen if I am not exercising faith on a day-to-day basis in the little things that come my way, when the big thing comes, I'm going to fail. I'm not going to be up to the task. And that's why a lot of Christians never grow leaps and bounds like they should. Because they don't spend their time each and every day developing that faith that God has given to them, looking through the eyes of faith as to how God wants them to deal with the things that come their way. And so what kind of a faith picture do you have for your life? What kind of a faith picture do you have for your family? What kind of a faith picture do you have for your marriage? How many know that our marriages would do a lot better if we would not only put into work the principles, but we put faith into it as well? We need to get a faith picture for what God wants for our marriage. We need to get a faith picture for what God wants for our family. We need to get a faith picture as to how God wants us to work and deal with our children. We need to get a faith picture for how God wants us to deal with the world and the people that we encounter on a day-to-day basis. Do you believe that God wants you to prosper in all these areas? Do you believe that God wants you to have a wonderful, fulfilling marriage? Do you believe that God wants you to have a family that's under control and it's not chaotic? And the children are disciplined? Hey, I'm telling you that you can't do it just on principle alone. It takes faith to believe God for the best. What is God's will? Do you know? Do you know that it's God's will for you to prosper in all these areas? The Bible says in 3 John chapter 1, and there's only one chapter, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. See? He wants us to prosper in everything that we do. What does that mean? Prosper. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, a lot of times we negate prospering with financial prosperity and all of that, but it's a lot more than that. It involves, you know, my marriage prospering, my children prospering and doing well, and, and everybody's in harmony and in sync and at peace with one another and all these different things. See, it takes faith in order to achieve that. And I think sometimes the problem that we have is that we think that we can just put these principles into effect and they'll work. Now that works to a point, but that's the works part of it. See, faith without works is dead. Works without faith is dead. The two have to work together. Let's look at faith's definition here. I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 11 from the Amplified Version, so it might be confusing for you to follow along with me. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith is a conviction of the reality that we do not yet see. That's a pretty strong word, isn't it? It's a conviction that's born deep, deep in my heart. Faith perceives as real fact that which has not yet been revealed to the senses. See? Faith receives, is revealed. See, here's the way faith works. Faith sees my marriage as a perfect marriage. Faith sees my children as perfect children. Faith sees my life as a perfect person. You see, unless I have something to set my gaze on, see, to set my hope on, see, the more and more that vision of faith gets instilled into my heart and becomes more of a reality, what begins to happen? I begin to respond according to that faith, don't I? You see, without faith, I can't please God. Because without that faith picture of what I know God wants for my life, I'm going to respond in doubt and unbelief. I'm going to respond according to my carnal reasoning, my intellect. The thing that says, well, it'll never work. It can never happen. So why try? And so we go on and we live our lives in that kind of a mode, and we do not experience the prosperity that God has so given to us because we lack a faith picture of what God desires for us as individuals. And so using this definition of faith, we should be able to come up with a vision, a purpose for our lives and what we can actually accomplish through faith. You see, I want you this morning to instill into your hearts a greater faith picture for your life. A greater faith picture for your marriage, for your family, for your business, for your work, for your relationships. How many know that it takes faith to work out our relationships with one another? Hey, I have to have faith to see that you're more perfect than what you are. And you have to have faith to see that I'm more perfect than what I am. Because we all deal with faults, amen? But we have to look beyond that. You see, faith involves assurance and conviction, see? It's a conviction. You see, if I develop a conviction in my heart that I'm going to raise my children in such a way that they will not backslide, it'll happen. But no, you say, oh no, kids are going to go through that age and they're going to backslide. You've heard that? I'll tell you what, I've seen kids raised in an atmosphere of faith in which they don't backslide. I have to have a conviction in my heart that my marriage is going to be the best marriage that I can, and a conviction that it's going to bring deep, deep fulfillment into my life. It may not be that way in the natural. But in the spiritual, it can be. You can begin to build a vision, a hope, and begin to latch on to that hope and say, that belongs to me. I'm taking it. And I'm going to live my life in accordance to that vision, in accordance to that hope. Live my life a life of faith so that I can begin to realize the things in my life that really belong to me. It starts with an assurance. Abraham received the promises of God because he was assured in his heart that what God had promised, he was very well able to perform. And we need to have that assurance in our hearts that what God has said according to his word, the things that he has promised to us, that he is able to come through and give them to us. They belong to us. It's being convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt that God will take charge of the situation. See, isn't that where we blow it? Faith loses out because, well, I'm in charge here. I'm the man. I'm the woman. I'm in charge. If I give God the control, then I'm uncomfortable with that because I'm not sure what's going to happen. But I know if I'm in control... Let me tell you what. The best that you can be is foolishness unto God. Our wisdom is foolishness unto God. His way is better. Okay. Developing this definition a little bit further. Faith always relates to something yet future. See, it's always relating to something that's still yet in the future. The word hope here in Hebrews 11 and verse 1 points to the future. We must see tomorrow in light of God's abilities and not our own. See, how many of us look at what's going to happen tomorrow in our lives in light of our own personal abilities? You see, if I begin to look to the future in light of God's ability working in me, what's going to happen in my life? I'm going to begin to respond like that, aren't I? I'm going to begin to respond as a man of faith or a woman of faith because I see God working in that way, and my life begins to take aim at that which is God and not that which is of myself. That's how faith works. But so many of us don't take the time to meditate on the Word. We don't take the time to meditate in our hearts before the Lord and to begin to look at our lives through the eyes of faith. All we see is what we see through our carnal eyes, our carnal reasoning. Faith will prepare us for adventure instead of fear. Amen. How many look to the future with fear and dread in their hearts? You see, if faith is in my heart and I'm looking to the future with faith in my heart, then I'm going to be looking at it, wow, this could really be exciting. It could be adventurous. Watch out. Turn me loose. Amen. Faith has as its object things that are not seen. See? There's things that I cannot see through my carnal eyes that begin to come into focus now through the eyes of faith. It's fixing my attention on what I cannot think, thinking broadly beyond the realm of natural expectation and reason. Now, the walk of faith and the exercising of our faith is found in being spiritually minded rather than carnal minded. It's found in being spiritually minded rather than carnally minded. The natural thing to do in many situations that we approach in life is just to approach them through a carnal understanding. See, we have to exercise our mind. We have to train our mind. We have to do faith exercises. We have to begin to say, oh, okay, this is coming up in my life. This situation, the children are getting a little bit out of control. The wife's getting a little bit out of control. The husband's getting a little bit out of control. Instead of, you know, beating each other over the head with the word or whatever it is that you do to each other, hey, how does God see that? How does God see the solution here? How does God want me to respond to this situation? What is His answer? Not what is my answer. You see, when we try to approach a situation through our own understanding, it just simply adds to the stress of the situation. It doesn't help the situation. Romans 8 and verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now here in this scripture is the fruit of living carnally and the fruit of living spiritually. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You want life? You want to experience yourself as a person just full of life, full of energy, full of excitement, full of zeal, full of peace? Oh, that commodity of peace. If my home could just be a home of peace where there's peace and tranquility, you say, oh, that can never happen. Yes, it can. You have to begin to see that. You have to begin to get a vision of that. You have to begin to develop a faith picture in your mind of what your home can be. You have to begin to develop a faith picture in your mind what your life on the job can be. You have to begin to develop a faith picture in your mind as to how your business can prosper. It takes faith and work. You see, the problem with most of us is this, is that before we were saved, we were all carnally minded, weren't we? We all lived according to the flesh. We lived according to our carnal and our natural reason. And as a result of that, our minds got into a great big rut. Our minds developed unbelief and doubt very, very strongly. God wants us to learn now that we've been born again, and as He's made us new, He wants us to live and function in this life according to being spiritually minded. This means that we quit leaning on our own understanding. We begin to lean on God's understanding. And lo and behold, we begin to experience victory. We begin to abandon ourselves to God. Because as we abandon ourselves to God, God will not abandon us. Even though we take that step. Oh, where's his hand? Step off into the unknown. God will be there. Amen. That doesn't mean that we do things that tempt God. That just means that we go on in our life and we begin to function and move in the realm of faith, knowing that God is there to help us. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your steps. Do not be wise in your own eyes. See, being wise in our own eyes is doubt and unbelief. It's pride. You see, as Christians, we're now a people of faith. We are a people of faith, which means God wants us to move in realms of faith rather than unbelief. We've got to put off the unbelief. We've got to quit exercising our minds in unbelief and doubt, because we've got to get rid of that. You ever wonder sometimes why, when you begin to think about negative things, you begin to respond to things in a negative way, why the fruit of that comes so quickly? I'll tell you why, is because unbelief is so much a part of our life, it's been so built into our lives that it's easy to be a person of unbelief. Now, what do you think would happen if we reversed that process? If we began to do the faith exercises that God desires for us, and faith now becomes more seated and rooted and grounded in our hearts. See, then when I begin to step out into the unknown, into an area of challenge, and begin to believe God, I will begin to receive the fruit of that action much quicker, because now belief is being established, the conviction is being established and seated and grounded in my heart, and I don't have to go through all this process of being double-minded. And all of us have to work through that, because we were raised in unbelief. We were raised in doubt. And God has to renew our minds. It's a challenge for us today, because we live in a world where everything around us speaks of unbelief. Everything in your world speaks of doubt and unbelief, because that's what the world is all about. And we're still in the world. We're not of the world, but we still have to put up with it. Amen? And the world is full of doubt. It's full of unbelief. The people you associate with are full of unbelief. They're full of doubt. They're full of uncertainty. And that's what they project. That's what they are all about. You know, just the other day, it's amazing how the mind works. You know, I'm trying to really develop my confession and my faith and healing and all of this. And I'm up the street, I'm talking with my neighbor. And we start talking about allergies. I mean, he's got allergies really bad. And so, lo and behold, before I realize it, here I am talking about allergies. All these allergies, they've got me down. You see what happens? See, it's not just in that. It's in all kinds of situations that we deal with. We deal with an unbelieving world. And they are a challenge to our faith. And so that's a test. See, that's a test for us to be more confession-oriented, not to give in to that doubt and that unbelief. You know, not to confess beyond where we're at, but to at least confess what we believe God is able to do in our lives. Amen? Confess His word of healing. Well, God says He's able to heal me. I'm going to walk in that. I'm going to believe God for that. God says He's going to make my life a joy. I'm going to believe that God. I mean, you know, you don't have to be around your friends in the world too long before, you know, they start getting all depressed and they start talking about woe is me, woe is my marriage, woe is this thing, and then you start talking about it too. Says, yeah, my wife the other day, you wouldn't believe what she did. You know, before we know it, here we are speaking all these negative things out of our mouth. Reaffirming once again that root of unbelief in our lives. You hear what I'm saying? You see, that's an opportunity for you as a person of God, as a child of God, to confess what you believe. Don't lie. See, I believe that most of us, a lot of us, lie when we give in to our carnal reasoning. When we start confessing things that don't go along with the word, we start saying, well, you know, this is going on in my life, it's misery, it's all of that. Well, see, in our heart, we really know that the Word has something better for us, don't we? That Jesus has something better for us. And so what we do, we find ourselves speaking in contradiction to what the Word is actually saying. You see, what's happened in the church, because of controversy, we lose out a lot of times. There's been a lot of controversy over the faith thing and all of that. And as a result, we're afraid to go around confessing what we believe. Well, hey, you need to quit worrying about all the controversy and just start doing what God wants you to do. Amen? You start confessing His Word. You start walking in His Word. You start walking in the promises of His Word. Get those things established in your hearts. Now, so how do we do it? How do we live in a world of unbelief? How do we live in a world that has a lack of certainty and still walk in belief? I believe that God wants us, give you these really quick because I've been going through them all along here, some faith exercises. He wants us to exercise our faith on a daily basis. Our growth in faith is very similar to that of our natural growth. How many know that when a young child begins to grow, that little child's not trying to grow. It's just growing. Amen? Child gets strong, comes into young adulthood, still strong and full of life and full of vigor. Gets into middle age and a growth. That as Christians, we go through that same type of a cycle. We come to the Lord, we get born again, and we just take off like a shooting star. You know, we're full of faith, and it seems like it's so easy to walk in faith and to do the things that are of faith. You know, but later on, you know, things begin to mellow out. We get hit by this, and we get hit by that. Before we're long, we're struggling. It's hard to make it anymore. Oh, woe is me. You know, can't make it. You know, I fought the good fight. But the fight's starting to get to me. Well, let me tell you what happens. You know, in order as we grow up in our natural bodies, see, when we start reaching middle age, we have to start exercising. We start thinking about eating right, don't we? Because we want to preserve this body. We want to make it last for a few more years. Well, see, that's what needs to happen in our spiritual life as well. When we realize that we've come into that place where we're no longer a shooting star, but we've become a falling star, we need to begin to do something. We need to do some spiritual exercises, do some faith exercises, begin to build ourselves up and become more strategic in how we want to build this muscle and how we want to build that muscle and begin to work with God in these areas. Amen? You see, a lot of this is just common sense stuff, but it's spiritual at the same time. And so we have to start with that faith picture. We have to get a faith picture of what God wants to do. Then we have to confess to one another the things that God is doing, the things we see God doing, the things that we want to see God doing. This is what I want from my marriage. This is what I want from my family. This is what I want in my job. This is what I want for my business. In Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians and verse 13, it says this. But since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, Paul says, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. See, begin to speak that vision. Begin to speak that faith picture. Begin to speak to one another, husband and wife, the things that God is putting into your heart for your marriage. Begin to speak to one another the things of faith concerning raising your children and disciplining your children. Begin to speak to one another, you know, the areas God is going to prosper you in. And so we confess these things to one another, not only to one another, but to God as well. In your time of praise, make your faith declarations. Oh God, I believe you're doing this in my life. I believe you're doing this for my family. I believe you're doing this for my marriage. You know why? Because the more I confess that, it gets into my heart. And then the more it gets into my heart, the more I confess it, and it just works like a reciprocal thing, and it just, you know, faith begins to feed on faith. And we come into a cycle of faith rather than a cycle of unbelief and doubt. And then faith comes by finding the biblical solution. We have to find the biblical solution to what God wants us to do. He who tunes up in the morning stays in harmony all day long. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Joshua 1 and verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe. Why? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. And so we need to learn to go to the Bible. We need to learn to study it for the help we need, because the Bible has the answers. They're all there. People like you and I, in the Bible, encountering the same things that we encountered, established their lives in faith. And then we put our faith picture into action. Faith without works is dead. James chapter 2 talks about, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? So that's also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith without works is dead. Do you not see the faith working together with works? And by works, faith was made perfect. Let me give you this illustration. And I'm about ready to wind down here. A Christian man, worked each day transporting tourists across the lake. On occasion, he would present the gospel and its implications for life in a most unusual way. He had painted the word faith on one of the oars of his rowboat, and works on the other. When they got quite far from shore, he would stop and then begin rowing with only one row, with one oar, the oar marked with faith. And he would cause the boat to go in circles to the left. And then, reversing the process, he would pull on the other oar marked works, and they would circle in the opposite direction. By this time, the bewildered passengers were waiting for an explanation. This afforded him a wonderful opportunity to give them the truth concerning discipleship and the Christian life. He always concluded by saying, you see, that neither faith nor works can stand alone. See, if I'm just in faith, I'm going in circles. If I'm just in works, I'm going in circles. It takes faith and works together for us to be perfected. They are twins that cannot be separated. And so today, do you want serious changes in your everyday life? If you do, you have to apply the principles of being a good husband or wife as well as the faith. If you just apply the principles without applying faith, it's not going to work. If you just apply faith without the principles, it won't work. You want to see your children being trained and believing, then it needs faith working together with principles. Faith and works. Do you want to see your financial situation turned around? You have to begin applying the principles of financial integrity, as well as giving and then believing and confessing and hoping. It all works together. And then finally, you have to expect something to happen. Amen? You have to expect changes to happen. Mark 11 and verse 24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. What happens if you have no expectation? Very simple. He who expects nothing shall not be disappointed. A big box of nothing. You expect something to happen, it'll happen. Amen? You have to get your expectator working. You have to expect something to happen. And so let me conclude today with this. A quote from Charles Swindoll. He says, life should be lived like this. Yesterday is a canceled check. We cannot negotiate it again. You cannot negotiate yesterday. It's already over with. Tomorrow is a promissory note. It can't be utilized until it arrives. Today is cash in hand. It must be invested. The psalmist expressed it this way, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And so we look at it this way, faith is like a muscle. It must be exercised. Faith is also like the sunrise. It is fresh every morning. He who fears the future is likely to fumble the present. If you have faith for the future, you'll do all right today. Amen. Your life will work out today if you have faith and expectation for the future. And so let's believe God and in His ability to work through our lives. So when the big things come, we have exercised our faith, we have been trained in faith, and now we're ready to meet the challenge that comes before us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for Your word. God, we just thank You, Lord, that You are an encouraging God. Lord, that You are a God of power. God, that You are a God of faith and that You have a desire to instill faith in our lives. Help us to go from here today, Lord, realizing the things that You have imparted into our spirits and to go forth, Lord, with a new deposit of faith and a new challenge on life to go out there and meet the many challenges and tests that face us each and every day. We pray in Jesus' name.